Money FM 89.3. Best of breakfast. The bigger picture, only on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to The Bigger Picture, and in focus is the FOMC. Fetcher Jerome Powell and the rest of the committee are likely to deliver a quarter point rate hike, and this is expected tomorrow morning Singapore time. So will we get that 25 basis point rate hike? And of course, the question is also, what's next? It's not just stubbornly high inflation on the radar. There's also jitters around the U.S. banking sector that might play a part, and also the U.S. debt ceiling adding to the noise. Let's unpack it with Deborah Cunningham. She is the CIO for Global Liquidity Markets at Federated Hermes. Good morning, Deborah. How are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm doing just fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing awesome. Now, it's great to have you because you've got your eye watching it very closely. What is the Fed thinking about? What they might do? And let's start first with the overview of what we are expecting. 25 basis points is what's widely penciled in. What else should we be watching out for?
Well, yes, it's definitely my world. And ultimately, we are looking for 25 basis points of an increase tomorrow, as announced by the Fed. We do think that Chair Powell in his press conference after the meeting will emphasize that maybe if they're done, maybe not. In either case, this is not something that will be quickly reversed, that they will be maintaining these higher rates, whether it's 5 to 5.25, even if it's 5.25 to 5.5, in either case, they're going to be maintaining these higher rates for longer, and that inflation continues to be the issue that they are trying to defeat. So I think, you know, all the other things, I don't think they'll change anything from a standpoint of, you know, what they're doing from a QT standpoint, treasuries and mortgages on a purchase basis each month. It's unlikely that any of the RRP, the IOER, those types of statistics will change. The differences will remain the same. But I think what Chair Powell will attempt to emphasize is that it's higher for longer. This is not reversed in a short-term time frame.
Yeah, so higher for longer, that could be the tone coming through. So the question is how high and how, I guess, how long as well. There are some bets that we might actually see a rate cut this year. How close is that to your expectations?
That is not in our expectations at all. And when you look at the Treasury market, there are so many issues that are influencing that market that have absolutely nothing to do with Fed outlook. We try to kind of ignore that in the context of what truly the market is expecting. So if you look at other types of rates, if you look at agency rates, if you look at commercial paper rates, if you look at certificate of deposit rates, they are not showing that same type of rate cut mentality by the end of the year. And, you know, some of the things you mentioned from an introductory perspective, the debt ceiling, supply, demand, there are all sorts of other issues that are influencing the Treasury market that make it look like, you know, the expectations from a futures market perspective would be 50 basis points in cuts by the end of the year. And we just don't think that's realistic.
Yeah, Deborah, walk us through what's going on with the debt ceiling. So this happens every now and then. There's this rush towards the deadline. And Janet Yellen has already said, no, we are running out of cash by the end of the month. So how dire is it right now?
Well, I think, you know, her goal is to get Congress talking to each other in something that is potentially negotiable and debatable between the two sides sooner rather than later. So I think that her concerns about the beginning of June are well-founded. Only she knows the best answers to the question of what is the X date. There are those that would say she's being a little overzealous, and it's probably not till sometime in July, or maybe if they make it through July, it's not till September. But I think that the fact that President Biden called a meeting on May 9th, so, you know, a week from today or a week from yesterday, of the various negotiating sides to hopefully bring this to some sort of a confirmation or an agreement is indicative that he believes what Chair Yellen is telling him.
All right. How Marcus interpreting the action here? Because to some extent, we are seeing lots of movement in treasuries this week.
Oh my gosh, the treasury market is as volatile as you could get. I think when we opened this morning, 1 month treasuries were 77 basis points different. that's a huge amount when you're talking about the difference in, you know, 4, 5, 5.5, 4.5 types of percentage points. That's a very large difference for what are supposed to be, you know, the most liquid, risk-free securities in the world. Mm. So it's coming true in the context of the volatility in the Treasury market that the, you know, decision-making is floundering at this point.
All right. Well, in conversation with Deborah Cunningham, she is the CIO for Global Liquidity Markets at Federated Hermes. Now, let's take a step back and look at the U.S. economy, Deborah. How much of, situation is it in right now when it comes to recovery? Because I see pockets of strength with the labor market, but also concerns about inflation, and then you've got a noise around the debt ceiling, and also the banking sector is starting to see some jitters as well. So when it comes to what Fed Chair Jerome Powell is thinking, what is going to be at the top of his priority list?
Well, certainly inflation. I mean, the Fed has a dual mandate, you know, with full employment and inflation, and we're beyond the full employment side. So he's willing to sacrifice a little bit there in order to bring, you know, the inflation genie back in the bottle. And certainly the actions that he's taken over the course of the last year have been doing just exactly that. 500 basis points later or close to it, you know, we have inflation that's half the level that it was a year ago. Now, having said that, there are still very substantially healthy sectors of the economy. Like you said, the labor markets, we have a very low participation rate, and therefore, you know, job openings to available labor are still outpacing in a pretty high fashion. You've got pretty high job inflation from a wage perspective. And then when you look at real estate, yes, there are some issues with some sectors of commercial real estate, mm-hmm. but certainly the residential real estate side of the marketplace is as strong as you could get. And things that suffered most from a pandemic perspective in the services sector are doing extremely well now, you know, that we're 3 years in, you know, past the worst sector from a pandemic perspective. So there are all sorts of positive aspects, but, you know, cracks in the economic market that are being seen. I think from a banking perspective, the banking system globally, inclusive of the U.S. as well as, you know, sort of the large global banks in various countries, is as healthy as it's been pretty much over the course of the last 15 years. So they are set up to withstand any kind of a, you know, potential recession. Having said that, there are those, and obviously we've seen those situations with Silicon Valley Bank over this past weekend, First Republic Bank. Mm-hmm. We've seen issues where they have, in fact, exposed what would be some of the cracks in the system. And that's what we're trying to, you know, sort of avoid going forward, I think, from a Janet Yellen perspective, get the debt ceiling stuff behind us so we can deal with whatever we need to, you know, Chair Powell as well from a banking system standpoint going forward.
Yeah, so you alluded to this a bit with the banking sector. We are seeing credit conditions tightening, partly because of that, and also high interest rates. What's the risk here that we could see this, you know, spur a deeper recession than what we are expecting?
Well, I think it's a possibility. I don't think it's the highest probability. You know, quite honestly, over the course of the last 3 years, banks have been so rich in deposits that they have not really had a lot from a lending perspective. They've actually put much of those deposits to work on the asset side of their balance sheet in the securities market. To some degree, that was sort of the downfall of Silicon Valley Bank with their mismatch from an asset and liability perspective, not bad loans, but rather underwater securities. So I feel like it might have more of an impact in, you know, sort of the bond market and the financial markets a little bit more so than historically a recession would have in the lending markets.
All right, we'll see what transpires from the FOMC tomorrow morning. We've been chairing Deborah Cunningham. She is the CIO for Global Liquidity Markets at Federated Hermes. Thank you so much for your time, Deborah.
Thank you, Ryan. It was very enjoyable. I appreciate the opportunity.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.